No reason to give up on God. Amen. He's faithful and true. And praise the Lord for that tonight. We can call on Him and know that He knows what we need better than we do. And the hard part's just the timing, right? When He doesn't answer our prayer right away, when He doesn't deliver us immediately out of the... We want it immediately. We're conditioned by our culture in so many ways to expect an answer right now and for things to change. And that's the life of faith, though. It's learning to trust Him and rest in Him and His plans and His purposes. And if you're taking your Bibles tonight, I'm in Luke chapter 18. So if you want to turn there as we're walking through these parables that Christ taught, and we're in Luke 18 tonight. Just the first half, the first eight verses tonight, the first parable here. There's another that we'll see next week, and verses 9 and following. But here tonight, as Jimmy just saying, ever feel like giving up? I mean, let's be honest. I've read the Psalms. There's plenty of times where David sang a song and wrote a song about maybe one moment where he considered giving up. The sons of Asaph did that as well. You know, you have to have faith to persevere, faith to push through. There's plenty to discourage us in this world. I mean, you can come up with plenty of excuses why you give up. But don't, right? We don't give up. I mean, if you have biscuits and no gravy, my goodness, right? Yeah. I mean, time and again, though, God comes through. He sees us through. And He'll see us through ultimately. And that's what we know and we realize. There's plenty of enemies in the world that will sow discord and discontent in our hearts, and lots of things that happen in our walk of faith to help us to question sometimes. And that's okay. It's not wrong to question God. But make sure you stop and listen for the answer, right? And what He's trying to teach us, where He's trying to take us. In fact, you know, in the early church, the church fathers used to say, there's three primary ways that you and I learn truth about God. Of course, the Word, right? I mean, it's His self-revelation, so that one we understand quite clearly. The second one is one we don't want to embrace and experience, and that's when we go through trials. God's intent is to teach you and teach me about Him, reveal something about Him as we walk through that trial and learn to depend on Him. And the third way we learn about Him is through prayer, which is what we're going to focus on tonight, because that's what the parable focuses on. I mean, what do we do when things don't happen? I mean, we pray and God doesn't answer right away. It would be easy to lose heart. Wonder, God, have you forgotten? Are you not aware? I mean, ever question whether He is going to work this out for good? I mean, that's what the promise is. Winston quoted it earlier. We know that from Romans. It's a promise. God is working all things together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purposes. So His purposes are benevolent. And so maybe tonight you're at that point and you've been praying for something. Praying for someone or a situation. You may have been praying for several weeks, several months. It may have been several years. I have several that I've been praying for several years. Trusting, believing, choosing to believe. God, you're going to work out your plan in your time. I was thinking about that earlier this morning. I was praying with one of our deacons and in my office early this morning, and we were just talking about how we expect things to happen right away. You know, you plant that seed and you expect it like a tomato plant to come up really quick, right? You know, some of these plants, they come up in 40, 45 days, 50 days, and poof, you got all your fruit, all your produce right away. But I thought it was interesting in Scripture. It talks about, you know, being a man that walks listening to the Word, not listening to the world. He's like a tree. I mean, you ever planted an acorn? Do you know how long it takes for that acorn to be fruitful and produce acorns? It's a tree. It takes a while. And sometimes that's what happens in our life. We've got to learn to be patient and give God time to work. By the way, if He does the work, it will be lasting, right? I can get things to happen and we can do that really quick. And even try to manipulate things instead of resting and waiting on God. But He wants us to call on Him. You know, from the beginning of time, I mean, right there in worship, Cain and Abel, the two brothers went up to worship. They called on the Lord. I mean, it was the men of renown that began to call on the name of the Lord. All around the world, men are praying, some to the true God, some not to the true God. But we spend lots of time in that. Hopefully you're spending time in that, making prayer a priority. It is a spiritual discipline. It's something that we should do regularly. Sadly, we're expecting God to change things, but infrequently asking Him to do that. Infrequently, we are calling on Him. Sometimes we're guilty. I'm guilty. We call on Him when it's convenient or when we're in a great stress or trial. I need you right now. And I'm grateful that His ear is attentive to our need. Amen. He is a good Father. But this is a relationship, and it's built on communication and trust. And we need to be communicating with Him. And Jesus gives us this verse about prayer and about persistent prayer and how God will answer. And so prayer should be a preeminent aspect of your life. It should be something that's a spiritual discipline that you and I are practicing every day, calling on Him. You know, it's important that, and I'm talking about more than just saying the grace or the blessing over the meal, but sincerely calling on Him. Some people pray, and they pray for a while, and then when the answer doesn't come, you just throw their hands up. What's the use, right? Now, don't do that. Don't admit that tonight. Unless you're going to say, God, forgive me. I realize I need to trust You. I do think that sometimes when we pray, eventually God knows, and He's going to handle it, and we don't have to continue praying. But I believe it's important to call on Him. Jesus is teaching His disciples this parable, and he's trying to teach them in such a way to understand the need to be persistent, to follow through all the way. You know, God's work depends on prayer. Learning that I am not able, you're not able to live the life of faith in our own strength. We need Him. And that's, by the way, why we take the first part of Wednesday night in prayer meeting, and we intentionally pray for our ministries. We pray for the things we're doing. We pray for the lost. We pray for our own revival. We then pray for other needs as well, but we realize we're not able. God is. And we have to exercise faith and believe. I mean, listen, you have to come tonight. When you're offering up prayer, you have to believe that He's really listening. That he hears us. And I mean, we're calling on His name. We're choosing to believe what He says about Himself is true. We're choosing to believe He's sovereign and in control. And He's not asleep at the wheel. I'm grateful for that Psalm 121, that we can sleep because He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always aware. The thing is, in this prayer, the reason we need to be persistent is God isn't about God changing the situation. It's about God changing me in the situation. That's how we learn in maturity as Christians. We learn that's really what God's trying to do. He's trying to change us in those trials, in those situations, not so much change the situation. And so persistently asking God, Lord, do Your good work and do Your good work in me. Maybe there's a burden tonight, something you've been praying for, and God hasn't answered yet, and you're wondering, should I continue to pray? Well, Jesus says, don't stop praying tonight. Don't throw in the towel. Choose to believe. In fact, let's just hear what He says here, these eight verses. He spoke a parable, verse 1 of chapter 18, that men, notice this, I underline this in my Bible, men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, what a question here. Will He really find faith on the earth? Father, our prayer tonight is You would find faith in us, that You would find hearts that exercise faith by praying, believing, trusting Your word, calling on You, asking you to do, Lord, according to your will, all for your glory, all for our good. That which is situations in our life, Lord, where we have no control over. Lord, it may relate to someone that we love. It may be their physical health. It may be their spiritual health, Lord. It may be a situation where there's a lot of uncertainty and we thus have anxiety over the uncertainty. And we need you to work on us as you walk us through this situation. Lord, whatever it may be, whatever the burden we may be carrying tonight, God, help us to persist, to call on your name, to believe you're unchanging, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so, Father, we can come to this throne of grace to find mercy and grace in our time of need. Jesus, you're our high priest who made that possible. So we come to you tonight. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Teach us on prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke mentions the widows. He does so frequently in his gospel, more so than the other writers. And the widows, you know, they had a difficult time in that day to make ends meet. And that hasn't changed in many ways. God instructed his people to care for the widows. And that's pure and undefiled religion, according to James, right? We have a responsibility to do that. And the early church, of course, did make that a priority. You see, even in the first squabble, really, that they had there, they appointed the deacons to help with the serving of the bread to the widows, the Hellenistic and the Hebraic women, widows who were having a problem with who was getting fed first or who was getting a portion and the others weren't. And the deacons had to resolve that so that the word could continue to go forward and prayer continue to take place by the apostles. As you look at this parable, it's important to understand the setting and the courtroom. We think of a courtroom, and I'm not talking about my people's court, right? I mean, the courtroom, not like downtown where you would go to court or a federal courthouse and you know, this fine building. The courthouse then was a tent that frequently moved from city to city or place to place. And a judge, he ran a circuit. I think down in Charlotte, there's a road that my mother-in-law lives off of, and called Lawyer's Road, and it's where the lawyers used to go back and forth to the convenient way to get from courthouse to courthouse. But you would go to the courthouse and you would bring your case, and the judge would establish an agenda there. And he would sit in that tent and surrounded by his assistants. And if you had some proceedings to take place, those things would be adjudicated. And anybody could watch from the outside, but only those who were approved on the docket, right, could be seen. I mean, it's the same way that way in the courthouse. You don't just go in and say to the, trust me, don't just go in. That bailiff will grab a hold of you and you'll be ruled out of order quickly. But if you weren't on the docket, you couldn't bring your case. And that meant sometimes you might have to bribe an assistant, right? You might have to bribe someone, hey, get me seen, please, so I can get my case adjudicated so that I can bring this to the judge's attention so I can get some measure of justice. And we have now this widow. Now, it would be even more difficult for her to be seen. And yet Jesus' teaching is, don't stop crying out to God. She's the example for us. She's demanding. She's calling out. She's somebody, an adversary. We got an adversary too, HaSatan, the devil, Satan. That's Hebrew, right? He's the one who brings the cases against us. You know, praise God, even though often we're guilty, because of the blood of Christ, we're free. Amen. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Someone, an adversary, is bringing accusations. She's wanting justice. Someone has done her wrong and she wants it fixed. And her disadvantage is this. She's a widow. She's a woman, right? She doesn't have the ability like the men do to speak in court. And since she's a widow, she has no husband to speak for her. And in that society, in that day, the widows were oppressed in some ways and sometimes taken advantage of, like the fatherless. And so being in this situation, she needs someone to intervene on her behalf. And so she's determined. I mean, the Bible says she was continually coming. That's not just at the court. I mean, I'm sure when he was approaching the tent or for to adjudicate matters that day, she probably was there trying to get his attention as he went in. Please hear my case. Please hear my case. I don't know that she doxed him like, you know, we do in social media today, but it does make you wonder because evidently he saw her throughout the city. I mean, that's the picture. It's not just at the courthouse that or the tent where the trial would take place and things were adjudicated, but the picture here is that, you know, this went on for a while. And probably she saw him in the town. She probably said, please hear my case. And when he went to the marketplace, there she was. And maybe she pleaded with him in front of all of his assistants. I'm not saying she stalked him, all right? That's not the picture here. But the picture is she persisted in calling on him and asking to give satisfaction to what had happened to her. Now, what's amazing is that's the illustration Jesus uses to the disciples. Why? So that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, the judge that we're calling on is the Supreme Court Justice. Amen? He is the Supreme Justice in the land. And we call on him because we choose to believe that he will do the right thing. Amen? He's not like this corrupt judge. This judge was corrupt in many ways. He's corrupt because he didn't fear God, right? I mean, the text is explicit that he was one who did not fear God, nor even have regard for those made in God's image, his fellow man. That would give us a suggestion that he was a corrupt judge, right? And not only that, corrupt and calloused, a hard heart towards people. I care less what the situation is. He probably was bribed. I mean, if this was his spiritual condition, I mean, I wonder if the facts really mattered to him. Because if you fear God, you know, all the truth's going to come out at some point. You better get it right. But evidently, he didn't. And so you have these troubles that are coming. And he mentions this widow. Man, she just troubles me. She wearies me by persistently, as it says in verse 5, just troubling me and coming to me. Her continual coming, it's just wearying. And he says, stop and think about this unjust judge. This woman, she comes and wearies him. I mean, literally the idea there is she beats him down or gives him a blackened eye. I mean, giving a black eye to the community just by her persistence in this. And so the lesson here is we may not get our answer immediately like her, but does that mean we stop asking? We stop believing? No, our God will answer in time. He's not corrupt. He's not calloused. God does care for us, amen? I mean, you read the Psalms, right? He puts our tears in a bottle. He knows every follicle on our head. I mean, he knows everything intimately about. Beloved, before we even offer a word in prayer, he knows what we're going to ask. He knows everything about us. He knows your situation better than you and I do, right? He understands it, and he understands why it's happening, and he realizes also why he's allowing it to happen in our life. And as we learned even this morning, how these trials, they're to produce perseverance in our life, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And we want to see that in our life, and so we come not to an unjust, a callous, corrupt, cold-hearted judge. We come to one who does care and is concerned and is doing something oftentimes that we don't see and we don't understand. But this is the contrast that's being painted, this unjust judge and our merciful, gracious judge, our high priest that we go to. Now, this is a widow, one who didn't have standing, would have a hard time getting the opportunity to present her case. And yet, Luke says, no, look at the contrast now. Jesus says this in verse 6. Listen, hear what the unjust judge said. But shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Are crying out to God, seemingly delayed. It doesn't answer right. He doesn't answer right away. Does he hear us? Of course he hears us. We need never to fear that God doesn't hear us. His ear is ever open to his cry. John would say this over in his epistle, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We've learned in Hebrews, beloved, we come to our great high priest, Jesus. His is a throne of grace. It's where we find our mercy. It's where we find the grace in our time of need. We come boldly to that throne of grace. Why do you come? In faith? To ask. Why? Because we're needy. We're as needy as she was. We desperately need the Lord. We need to realize that too. I think that's why Paul would say there in Thessalonians, we go to pray without ceasing, right? Give thanks always. Rejoice always. I mean, in each of those imperatives that we're giving, rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, the idea is consistently, nonstop, and that we're always in just this spirit and attitude of asking and supplicating God, presenting our needs and thanking him as he answers those prayers. That's a prayer we offer back after he's answered our prayer, and finding joy before we ask, as we ask, when he answers what we ask. Finding joy always in those situations. That's what our faith should look like. It should look like that when we go throughout the week. I mean, when you're about to pull your hair out, right? When you're about to just say, man, I'm done. Pray. Call on him. Whatever, right now, listen, whatever that burden is that you have, whoever it may be, a wayward child, a rebellious individual, call on the name of the Lord. Choose to believe tonight, God can. I mean, by the way, he cares. His son died, right? His son shed his blood. He loved the world that he gave his son. So I know God loves him. I know God's desire is that none perish, but they all repent, they all turn. Whatever that situation is, pray, call on the Lord. I mean, this is what God's trying to teach us in our spiritual journey. His ways are not our ways. He's at work doing his will, his time, his calendar, not mine, his. But he handles those positions. He doesn't turn away a deaf ear to what you and I cry out for. This judge did, this corrupt, calloused, hardcore, listen, this judge didn't answer when she beckoned and burdened and called on him. But our Father, when you are his elect, his children, the one that he chose, as we understand from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of the world, God has seen to it that you and I, listen, it's a mystery to understand. But beloved, our salvation from beginning to end, he knows and sees and understands it all. I can't understand it sometimes in the temporality and the time in which we live, but this I know. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. When we get to heaven, all those who did will be the elect. God's going to watch over them and care for them. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to our petitions. You see, when you and I pray, we're believing. Why ask if you don't believe he's going to answer? I mean, didn't Jesus say that? I mean, listen, ask, seek, knock in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Hey, listen, men, if your son asks for you for some bread, you don't give him some stones. I mean, you know, you just imagine little biscuits, right? You wouldn't give him a stone that might look like a biscuit. Chew on this, Junior, right? You wouldn't do that. He says, give me a fish. You don't give him a snake. If your father, if we give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father give good gifts to his? He's so much better. And he's a benevolent father. He cares for his own. He knows what we need, when we need it. And when the Spirit burdens my heart, when the Spirit, you know, gives you and I the words we ought to say sometimes because we don't know what to say, we need to give that back to the Lord, give that burden to him and call on him, and then watch him work. Believe. Ask in faith. Don't be double-minded. Believe. Take him at his word. That's why you build your life on this book right here. It is absolutely essential. It's a solid rock for us to stand on. It's a firm ground. Not some shaky sand, right? Not some sand that's not going to give us stability in the midst of the storm. No, it's solid rock. And so we ought always to pray. We ought always to call on him. That's what it says in verse 1. That was what Jesus was trying to teach him. You know, this is what we need to do. Pray without ceasing. That means there's no intermission. Be ready, be watchful, be alert, be attentive to the opportunity to pray, to call on his name. You say, do I have to voice that with my... No, sometimes, you know what? Even when I'm preaching, I'm praying, Lord, please give me the next thing to say. For someone who I see out in the audience, out in the congregation. Because I know a situation that they may be going through. Lord, what would I say? What will I say in this moment? Lord, to help encourage them in their faith journey. To choose to trust God and take him at his word. To choose to believe God is able. You see, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to not lose heart. Keep praying. Keep believing. By the way, that's essential for us staying in touch with him, right? I mean, could you imagine always being in constant communication with someone? Man, you would know everything about them and they know everything about you for that whole moment that you were talking with them. It's the same way as we walk by faith. Prayer is the vehicle. Now, by the way, that's not because he doesn't know. He knows all things, amen? He knows everything. So it's not to inform him, but it is to help us through that situation to know he knows, to remind ourselves he knows. We should be consistent in this. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Don't become slothful and throw in the towel even. I mean, when prayer is delayed, believe he's still at work. I mean, that's what, you know, when Jesus taught us to pray in the, you know, Sermon on the Mount, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven, amen? And our prayers, I want to see it done on earth. Not just around me, in you. And prayer's the way that happens. And so we're consistent. We call out. Now, the last question here in verse 8 is the really challenging one, right? Will Jesus find faith when he returns? Will he find you, find me, persistent in prayer, calling on the Father? Will he find us beseeching that throne of grace? Will he find us calling on him? I mean, when the Son of Man comes, he's coming, y'all. He's coming. That's what it says. We don't know when. No one knows the time. No one knows the day. No one knows the hour. The Father does. But until then, will he find us calling on him? Now, I don't want to be delinquent in that. I don't want to be delayed in that. I want God to find me calling on him, choosing to believe he hasn't changed. He's the same. I want to find comfort praying to him and believing. I want to exhibit that faith that is questioned here. Will he really find faith on the earth? I mean, we know that there's going to be a falling away. We know these things are going to happen. God, I want that faith to be real in me. Part of having enduring faith is eyes that are looking up, eyes that are running this race of faith, eyes that are trusting and believing and resting in his plans and his purposes, calling on him. If you ever feel like giving up, keep on praying. God will answer. Don't lose heart. Beloved, he is faithful to his word. He came the first time consistent with his word. He's going to be faithful and come the second time consistent with his word. And because he's coming and he's demonstrated his faithfulness, beloved, everything else he said in his word we can take is yea and amen. So believe. Tonight, I don't know what you brought in. I don't know what you're carrying always. Some of you have told me. You tell me at the door, pray for this, pray for that. And I pray, and Wednesday nights you give us the prayer requests, special need prayer requests, or you call the office. Those things are important. But beloved, whatever those burdens are you're carrying, tonight give it to him and keep calling on him. Keep asking, keep believing. God, just say, in your time, Lord, do your will. And help me to surrender to what that may be and choose to watch you work in your time. And so it would only be right for us to apply what truth we've heard tonight. Prayer is the invitation from God to come to Him. He's not coercing us to do this, right? He's inviting us. He's wooing us and saying, listen, do you realize I work through your prayers? This is the amazing thing, God's economy, right? We offer it up. And God works through those prayers. I don't know what prayer, which one needs to be offered up for something to change, but that's how God has chosen to work. There's power in prayer. And we need more of it. I mean, there's many great prayer warriors, and we need more of those even today. But realize, we learn a lot about Him as we call on Him. Not just through His Word, not through the trials, but also in prayer. Learning and persistence, who He is, and calling on Him. So, praise God tonight, there's an unbroken line. You'll always have a connection. You won't have to wonder, you know, is my phone going to work with Him? Praise the Lord, He hears. So let's call on Him tonight. In fact, join me as we just pause for a moment to pray. And as we're praying, what is the one thing, the two things, the three things that are really stressing you in your spiritual journey tonight? I want to invite you to choose right now to give those things to the Lord. It may be a person, it may be a situation, it may be your health, it may be finances, it may be something that is impossible. Well, with our God, all things are possible. Choose to believe tonight. And even as we pray now, we realize that the Spirit of God dwells within us, and our prayer is, Spirit of God, help me to pray. Help me to pray consistently with the will of the Father. Who can know the mind of God but God? And He has given us Spirit to help us to know how to pray. And when we don't know how to pray, the promise of Scripture is the Spirit intercedes for us tonight. So even when you don't know that burden that's so great, you don't know the words to form to say, the Spirit of God intercedes and helps us. But right now, I'm talking about your will, your choice, mine as well, to not faint, not grow weary, not give up, but to persist and ask. Ask for the right thing to be done in someone's heart. The right thing is for them to turn to Jesus. The right thing is for them to order their life according to His Word. Pray for that. The right thing, if there's a need, He's a good shepherd. He knows what I need, when I need it. Whether that's a physical need, an emotional need, He gives green grass and still waters. He restores our soul. If it's guidance, He guides us in paths of righteousness. Whatever it may be, ask that the good shepherd would supply that. If it's healing, He's the great physician. And ultimately, we know He'll heal us completely when we're glorified. But if His will is healing right now, ask Him, Lord, do that good work. And along the way, Father, give us joy. Lord, help us to rejoice even in the trials. Lord, that's a supernatural thing that You work in us. Your Spirit produces in us. So give us that no matter what we face tonight, no matter how great the burden may be. Lord, give us great faith to believe, to even ask, to call on You. Lord, help our unbelief even, I pray, Lord. We give our burdens to You. We choose to believe tonight You are able. We choose to believe You're in control. We choose to believe that You're doing a good work, a glorious work that will bring glory to Your name. But Lord, tonight, I just pray for my brothers and sisters before me. Lord, I pray as they call out to You, Lord, encourage their hearts, Lord, and in Your time, answer their request. Lord, because they're Yours, they're Your children. Lord, and You love them. And You are mindful of their needs. Jesus, one day we will give thanks when we see You, when all of our prayers have been ultimately answered. We're there in Your presence to enjoy You for eternity and all that You've prepared. And what a day that will be. And the communication we'll have face to face with You. We look forward to that day. But until then, Lord, as we walk by faith, let us be persistent talking with You. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.